don't feel like much of a friend of the Lord as often as I fail him. And he's talking about singing. That's one of my fears. When I put this mic on, you're going to cut it on during the singing. Afraid I'll grieve a spirit. I've been known to even lay it next to me till go time before, just in case. But Daddy, they complimented your tie a lot. My daddy used to work for a company called American Freightways, and it took pride, and they had our country's colors on their trucks and things. They got bought out by FedEx. But he went to Nashville for a truck driving competition, and they gave him these ties, and I borrowed it today. I thought it was suiting. And it's got Lady Liberty on the bottom. I've been preaching a while, but I still about baptized her when I went to wash my hands. Our country needs a, they don't need a good baptizing, needs good saving. But I got some thoughts on my heart today. I got a message God gave me there last week, and I call it Last Chance. That's what I call it. And, you know, I wore this tie, but it sort of bothers me. I can't look at the old flag, and I see the red, and I think about the blood. And I think about them young men. Them young men, that they had, some of them, they didn't even, they dropped the gate on Normandy, and they got killed before they even took a step. And I wonder if our souls was ready. And there's some men that might be burning up in hell because of us and the demands of our country. That bothers me. It bothers me. I hope that generation, a great many were saved during the Depression. Maybe that's why God let there be a Depression. It's because there's big revivals during the Depression. When men's starving, their spirits get hungry. And maybe there's big revivals come through. Maybe a great many of our fighting boys got saved. Maybe that's why God did that. He knew there's a fight, and there's more to a fight than being in shape. There's a spirit that needs to be ready to fight. Oh, our country's got a fight on its hands right now. Our country's got a fight. I tell you what, we need to be getting fighting spirit about us, not just lay down and take it. Oh, the battle is the Lord's. We know that to be so. So let's let him do the fighting. Oh, but God likes it when you prod him on. Amen. Amen. He likes to know what you care about. Amen. I wear this, and I'm glad to be a citizen of my country. One of the few regrets I have in my life is that I didn't serve my country, but this life is short, and there ain't enough room for it all. That's about my only regret. There ain't a thing I regret about being saved and being God's. And he lined everything in my life up. I didn't know it was all fitting together, but it was. And I don't think there was room to be a serviceman. But boy, I love them. I love them so. Oh, I'm proud to be an American. I go down to Mexico on them mission trips, and they know you're an American. Probably because I'm about a foot taller than them, but there is obvious what I am when you see me, even in the deepest parts of Mexico. We went where there wasn't much cartel, when there's dirt roads and farmers, there ain't much to extort. And so you go there, and there ain't much fear there. And I've had them come up to me and like, what are you doing here? Obviously not a tourist, but anyhow, the Americans have there's a identifying things about us. We have a brashness to us because we're taught that we're born with freedoms, and it creates a brashness to us. We're used to being free, and basically, if we go somewhere where we're not free, our cackles get up. Cackles, I reckon that's when a dog bristles up. That's what I call it. Hey, man, you get bristled up. You get aggravated. That's why a lot of us didn't like it when they recommended us not to go to church. We felt like our freedoms were being squeezed. And it got our cackles up. It did. Whether you like it or not, you wanted to be here. Or you ought to have if you saved. You wanted to be in God's house. You wanted the freedom to go to God's house. And there's that American way about us. Oh, glory. This here liberty to be that way was paid for with blood. Oh, but you know what? When they look at me, I want them to not think of me as an American. I want it to show out that I'm a pilgrim. I want this to not appear to be my native land. I don't want this to appear to be my native land. I believe if you're from a country, it shows up on you. Well, if you're a born-again child of God, you're a pilgrim. And as you walk through this world, they ought to be able to tell it. There ought to be mannerisms about you. There ought to be little clues that you're not a local. And, I'm sorry I ain't got to it yet. We're heading this way. But I tell you what, amen, our freedom, our spiritual freedom, the Lord God-given child, free from sin, free from that weight, free from the burdens of this world, it was also bought with blood. Oh, but unlike your men that die on the battlefield, our God got up and he's still fighting today. Oh, we're as free as we'll ever be. Oh, and I'm a citizen of heaven. I got a home in glory. It was bought and paid for a price. Amen. Oh, being a citizen of heaven. You say, when I go to Mexico, I had to keep my paperwork with me. If they come up to me, I wanted to show them I was American, you know, that I was there legal too, and I had the visiting card for a week. I was terrified, what if I went over a week and they didn't let me come home? Praise God, they can't keep you from home if you're a citizen of heaven. No matter what happens, you got a home. Worst comes to worst, you just go home early. Amen. Oh, guess what? You ain't got no passport either. If they catch you by the side of the road, guess what? The king, it's the only country I've ever seen where the king goes with you everywhere you go. Oh, you don't need no passport. You got a Holy Ghost. He lives in your heart. Oh, guess what? Oh, if they get a hold of you, oh, they don't take long for them to realize that Holy Ghost says, I'm his. Woo! Oh, glory. I don't have to worry about losing it. Amen. Oh, amen. I like being his messenger. Oh, I'm so unworthy to be a Christian. I'm so unworthy, felt him so. But yet, I'm a citizen of heaven. Amen. He won't kick me out. Amen. I like say, oh, that sin creeps up. That old man creeps up. I ought to be kicked out, but oh, no, he just loves me all the more. Oh, and then he called me to be a messenger, and the king goes with me every message I deliver. Hey, how about that? Oh, glory. Oh, citizens of heaven. I ought to start introducing messages that way for the citizens of heaven. Amen. Y'all have a home. No reason for poochy lips. Amen. Oh. I got a verse we're going to kick off with tonight. Where you can turn to chapter 6 of Acts. That's where the majority of the message will be. We're going to kick off with this verse. Y'all think about this verse and apply this verse to your heart and go home with this verse. And I hope it's still on your heart in the morning when you wake up. It says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. And then it says, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There's people tomorrow, a great many people, before the end of the day, they're going to have bad news. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. Pastor often says, a simple phone call can change it all. One bad phone call is all it takes. So you don't boast about what you're going to do tomorrow. No, sir. No, sir. Today. It needs to be today. We're going to look at it at the one of the first deacons here in chapter 6 of Acts. This man and some things about him. It says in Acts chapter 6. Verse 1, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. We're talking about God, the blooming the church,
He's raising up. Oh, it started there in the upper room, and it's just on fire. People getting saved left and right. People, I'd say a great many of them getting called to preach. Some of them don't even know they're preaching. They probably didn't call it preaching. They're just strong testifying. But they're letting them have it, and they're going and telling how good Jesus is and that He lives. Oh, and it ain't been too far. Many of them maybe even seen Him with their own eyes. Amen. That He walked. He got up out of the grave, and He walks. And He's alive. And they're telling them, and it's a spreading like wildfire. And the church of the day don't like it. They don't like it still today. The government don't. When you talk about Him living and how your hope ain't in them, it's in Him. But there's a revival going, and it's hitting such a hot lick that the church who took care of the widows and things is sort of neglecting its duties because it's just growing so fast. And it says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. So many people are preaching and studying that somebody needs to help them widows. It says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Amen. Oh, I won't stop saying praise the Lord for good deacons. Praise the Lord for good deacons. I know churches that the church of preachers leave because the deacons won't give ground and this, that, and the other. Oh, that ain't the case here. Oh, you don't know what a privilege it is to preach here. You about get the cane help us just walking up here. Oh, we got a sweet church, and we got to guard it very sincerely. You don't know how sweet this church is. Oh, and we got good deacons. When I was studying this, I thought about Brother Ralph and Brother Houston and the other men, and I'm not trying to shortchange them. I just want to list them all. We got good deacons. They'll back a man of God, and they'll pray about it, and they care. A lot of people want the title. Oh, but our men, I believe they'd take a responsibility without the title. Hey, man, we got good ones here. Oh, I don't have any idea how old this man is, but it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Amen. I believe that can still happen today. Amen. If we'll get holy, if we'll get full of Holy Ghost, amen. Oh, but it says right here, it says, and Stephen, here's this man. They just made him a deacon. I bet he was like, they didn't even have deacons yet. They're just moving into the church age the way the Lord wants it. He'd be like the rest of us. What's a deacon? They say, we want you to take care of the widows and the orphans and whatever the church, you know, you're a servant to the church. And he said, oh, okay. And I bet it filled him with joy to be such. Amen. He's probably already doing it anyways. That's why they called him. Amen. And this old boy, I don't know him, but I feel like I can relate to him. I love this man. And it says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. This is still an age when man had a touch of God was so strong on him, they could do healings and things by laying hands. But old Stephen, you got to walk close to God for God to use you. We know right there he walks close to God. We're talking about a holy fella. He loves the Lord. And the people don't like it, the people of the town. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. They wanted to argue with this old boy. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. You can accomplish a lot by the way you speak in your spirit. You notice that spirit right there ain't capital S. That ain't the Holy Ghost. That's his personal spirit. That's the way he delivers with wisdom and his spirit. They just couldn't pin this old boy down. We're talking about that fellow on the job site that's hard working, and he does it to the best of his ability, and you just can't pin this fellow down. I mean, this fellow right here, he don't mess up much. He takes his time. He does the job right. We're talking about that guy that's got that meek spirit. You can't hate him. We're talking about that fella. Oh, and they just couldn't do nothing with him by arguing with him. And it says, then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. They went out and got him somebody willing to lie on him. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him. Amen. This boy here is a citizen of heaven. He's walking close. He says, they looked steadfastly on him, or looking at him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. We know them angels are in the presence of the Father, Son. Amen. He already looks like a citizen of heaven. They're looking at him, said his face is as an angel. They're looking at this old boy. He don't even look like he's from around here. Oh, I'm not going to get into his message there. He's probably like me. He preached before he announced. I don't believe he had time to realize he even had a calling. They drug him here, it says, in chapter 7. And he said, it says, then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the God of glory. Amen. He's getting ready to kick off. But first they drag him to a meeting house. They drag him. They pull him to this meeting. Him by himself. One of the first deacons trying to squash that church. They didn't know they had a citizen of heaven, did they? And we're not going to go into what he preached. It's a pretty long message. But he takes them all the way down to where they're at that day. It starts with Abraham and just goes down through the law. Now we're going to go over to chapter 7. The end of chapter 7. It says in verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers? Oh, he just laid it on them what they did, that Jesus died for them, that they killed the just one. And it says, whoever received the law by the disposition of angels have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. What are you getting at? He just gave them Bible. That Bible does the cutting. It says it cut them to the heart. He just gave them Bible. A preacher, I don't remember the occasion. I remember we was in the car one time. We might have went and heard Brother Bagwell, but I'm not sure if that was the occasion. And you said, old Stephen, he preached one message. He preached her so hard they had to stop her ears up. Couldn't take it. I won't be like that. This here man, well, he's getting that. He's got one chance, last chance. He probably had an idea when they grabbed him and drug him in there. He's got a chance to stand for Jesus. He had opportunity. He could have given them soft words. He could have patted them on the back, told them they'd be all right. They might have even let him go. Oh, but this old boy, he stuck to the stuff. He's got one chance, and that he knows of. You better take a chance you got that you know of. Oh, if you take anything from this, you take that right there, that there'll be chances when you see that person at the gas pump, that stranger, and you see him, chances are likely you'll never see them again. You best give them the Word of God. Amen. I'm as guilty as anybody. I'm guilty now. I'm tired. I don't feel like talking to them. I've learned a long time ago they don't really cuss you like my flesh used to try and tell me, that you get cussed every time you give a tract. Simply ain't the case. Most of the time they thank you for it. Most of the time they like you because you're caring up about their soul. When the world don't. They can tell you love them. Oh, he's got one chance here. It's on this day that your one chance comes. There's some things you're going to want to have. We'll try and be quick. I know I opened up, took a minute. He don't know if he'll, he says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, it says in Proverbs. He don't know that he'll get another chance. And here he is with a congregation that he knows is lost. And he's just standing before them. His testimony's on the line. I'm glad God knows his man. I'm glad God knows. He say, why would he put that lost person in my way? I'm not qualified. Oh, God knew you'd be in their way. You are qualified if you'll lean on the Lord. Oh, first we're going to go over here real quick. Matthew 10:28, one verse. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. First thing is he had his fears right. He was more afraid of God than he was afraid of them men. That first thing get your fears right. Them men ain't going to do nothing to you. They can't send you to hell if you're a born-again child of God. Oh, you got a home in heaven. You might as well hang around on the line and go for broke. Oh, he had his fears right. He wasn't afraid of embarrassing that flesh. Oh, as we're so apt to do, I might get embarrassed if they ask me to testify. I might get embarrassed. He got himself out of the way. And he says, I'm going for Jesus. He's worth it. Amen. Oh, got his fear right. Who he feared. Second, oh, we should all be this way. In Peter chapter 3, oh, next thing is, while we're talking about he's crucifying the flesh, essentially, it says that, And Romans, we're going to stop there real quick. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We already know this fella. He knows he's in the will of God that day. He done sacrificed that flesh. He knew that God was giving him an opportunity. That's how we need to look at it. Not that, oh, poor me, I'm getting drugged before lost men. Oh, not I'm surrounded by lost men. I often felt that way at work. I'll just be honest with you. I'd get down feeling low, moldy grubbing, surrounded by lost people in the workplace, not realizing, oh, that I was in a fertile field. Oh, that God put me there. Oh, oh. We need to remember their eyes are on us. Oh. Now we're going to go on over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15 here. Let's stop and go to verse 10. Let's see. Yeah. It says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? That's kind of how you trust the Lord and go. It says, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. He knew deep down, if he give him some tender message that didn't cut him to the heart, if he didn't give him the word of God, he knew he wouldn't be happy that night. I tell you what, preacher, there ain't nothing like obeying God that night when you lay down. When you lay down in a bed, I call it the Holy Ghost feels different at different times. I call it the still waters, Holy Ghost. When you get done doing something for God and you know you did what he wanted you to do, oh, even the car ride home, you just feel still inside. You feel like a settled pond. Oh, that's the way I call it. I don't know how to describe it, but that's what I'd call it. But there's a happiness and a contentment that can't be bought for money. A servant of living God and doing what he'd have you do. And on that day, if he had told them what they wanted to hear and tickled their ears, he wouldn't have went home happy. There's only one way that man of God is going to be happy. And it says, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Happy. Somebody told me one time that Christians weren't happy. It's based on the word happenstance. He says, that's based on chance. I said, well, by chance, I got the Lord of Lords, and I'm happy about it. Oh, glory. He lined my life up where I got to meet him early. Hey, man. Oh, he knew he wouldn't be happy that night but he had to do what God had on his heart. It says, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. What did we say? We said he had his fear right. And he was ready. Christians, are you ready? Tomorrow, if a lost man is under conviction, are you ready? Are you ready to tell him of your hope and how you got it? That's a challenge. There was a time I wasn't ready. There was a time I wasn't ready. I was a saved man. I knew how to pray. I was taught how to pray from a boy. But I didn't know how to win a soul. I was on that fishing boat. This Mexican come to me. I've told this before, I'm sure. And he was a-weeping. He said he didn't want to go to hell. And I tried to tell him how I got saved. But my answer wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I didn't know Romans Road. I didn't know. I knew John 3:16. But I didn't know the verses before that when Nicodemus came. That helps a man a lot when you learn the difference between a spiritual birth and a physical birth. I didn't know those things. I wasn't studied up. And his blood is on my hands. His blood is on my hands. I found later the Lord God let me find his address, and I sent him a Bible. He also wanted a Bible, a Spanish Bible. He didn't speak good English. That was part of the problem. But I was the only Christian on the boat, as far as I could tell, and I'm pretty sure I was. And I was the only praying man on the boat. And he came to me. Here I was, a citizen of heaven. And he came asking a citizen of heaven how to get into heaven. It's that simple. And getting into heaven's easy. Ain't that horrible? That's grievous. It's grievous to my spirit. I asked the Lord God, I got down to praying for him. And in that meantime, God let me find Rock of Ages, that they made Bibles and Spanish Bibles. And the Lord God let me find his address and full name. And I sent him a Bible. And I told the Lord, if it come back to me, I'd cry myself to death. And the Lord let it, wherever it went, it stayed there. God didn't let it come back. I'm thankful for that. Maybe I'll get to meet him in glory. Maybe he got saved. That's my hope. I don't want no man's blood on my hands, because I'm too lazy to be ready. Oh, on this day, we find that Stephen's ready. Oh, well, how do you get ready? Well, you study. In 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, we'll go down to verse 8. It says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Oh, Stephen knew there's a strong chance he'd be more alive than he'd ever been when they drug him that day. It says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that day. Strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Here's verse 15. This is the one we especially want to note. How do you get ready to give an answer? It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You get in that Bible. That Bible's what's going to cut them, and that Bible's what's going to prepare you for when they come to you. Young, youngins, teachers ain't going to be allowed to win souls. If you're in high school, it's up to you to win souls. I guess that one's for free. I don't know where that come from. But simple fact of the matter, a teacher can't get down and win a soul, they'll get fired. Most of them's job scared. A lot of people, when it comes down to their income or working for God, they'll get shaky now, unless they got a godly boss. But you youngins, you realize you can do whatever you want. You a student. Amen. Rock of Ages has a program, Bible clubs in schools. It has to be set up by the student, and they come in and they teach them the Word of God. There's the Rock of Ages men, some of them are missionaries to schools. Ain't that something? But it has to be started by the children, the youngins. Youngins, study to show thyself approved and be ready. Because everybody around you, heart's tender. And it'll stand out if you walk with the Lord. So we know that he was ready. And if you read his message there, he started in Abraham and worked all the way down. You know that he'd been studying. Old boy knew his Bible. He wasn't just happenstance. When you got drugged one day to be to testify that you happen to know all the way from Abraham all the way to present day, he had been spending time in his Bible. He loved the Lord. He bound it to his heart. He didn't have one to read out of. If you told me to preach and I didn't have a Bible, I'd be hurting, preacher. I'm just being honest. If I didn't have one, it'd be a short message. You might wish I didn't have one tonight. I don't know. There's one more thing on that day, Mr. Stephen, on his last chance. He didn't know if he'd ever get another chance. He seized the day. Well, they call it carpe diem. Amen. I think more Christians need to carpe diem. Seize the day. Witness to somebody today. Pray for somebody today. While we're there, I feel like reading this verse. I'm sorry, this is off the cuff. Over in Psalms 126, I can almost quote it, but I don't want to because I might get it wrong. People forget this. They forget this all the time. In verse 5 of Psalms 126, it says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." It says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." God's still saving souls. He ain't blew the trumpet. He's still saving souls. Tears, we can only cry for a little short while longer. You know, human beings are the only creature that can cry out of emotion. This old body, this wretched flesh, is the only thing on this planet that God lets cry out of emotion. And emotional tears are different than dryness tears. Emotional tears have natural painkillers in them. That's why you feel better after a good cry. God put that in us out of mercy. Even a lost man, God put mercy on him that he could feel better. But I tell you what else. We know that God, he said, David said in Psalm 56, "Are not my tears in thy bottle?" God will bottle up tears and he writes them in a book. He's still doing that. He's the same. He's the same God today. And there's only a little while we could cry. There's a day coming for long where it's going to wipe away all tears. And when you get that new body, I don't believe it cries. I don't believe it cries. I believe that in Hebrews 5, it says that Jesus, while he was in the flesh, with strong crying and tears, in Hebrews chapter 5, he cried while he was bearing our infirmities. He was like us. He's bearing our infirmities, so he cried. There's only a little while we can cry. If your calling is to weep, weep. Don't be ashamed of tears. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of. Somebody might get saved out of them. Don't be ashamed. I met a lady, and she's like, "I'm so sorry, I don't normally cry." She's a crying. Our spirits are bearing witness. I was crying. Looked over, my aunt was crying. I said, "Don't you dare be ashamed for them tears. If I'm in a dry service in Alaska, that might be the only thing that keeps me going." The Bible says in the parable of the sower, it says some of the seed didn't sprout because it lacked moisture. You cry. Don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid to cry. Ain't a thing wrong with crying. Oh, pray while you can. Cry while you can. There's a day coming. It might be tonight. That sky might split, and we'd be done with our tears. There'll be people in hell because we didn't cry. Oh, one more thing that he had that we have. It says there, let me see if I can get back to it. Acts chapter 7. I threw my marker out as I'm apt to do. It says, and it says in verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. He was ready that day. He was studied that day. He feared the Lord that day. And he had Jesus with him that day. Standing with him. He wasn't by himself. This world looked on him, that citizen of heaven, drugged before all them different peoples and them church elders and all them that despised him. It looked like to normal eyes, to fleshly eyes, that he is by himself. Simple fact of the matter is he wasn't by himself. Oh, there was one that normally sits by the right hand of the Father, but he stood up that day because he had a man that he knew was going to take a stand. Oh, oh, when you get up and you get a track ready, you pull one out of your glove box and you step over that pump and your insides is a quivering and you think you're going to get cussed, you remember the King of Kings is with you and you're suffering his will, and his will's that none perish, and you're acting out his Bible and you give him that track. You're in the right. Don't be scared. You're in the right. What can they do to you? Oh, you say, who is this king? Who is this that's standing with you? A lot of portraits in a lot of churches, I despise them. They'll show a pale, slim fellow with long hair. Look like something out of the 70s. Out of a hippie van. That ain't the case. Even when he was in the flesh, he was a carpenter. He carried beams. He had calloused hands and leather-like skin from a son. Even when he was in the flesh. But he ain't in the flesh no more. Oh, on the right hand of the Father. The same one that's with you when you get up. And you go to tell somebody about Jesus. Why, you need not be scared. Why, you can go boldly. As in Revelations chapter 2. Who's a standing with you? You may not see him. You don't see them guardian angels you got either. They're there, though. When you're there and you feel your insides are quivering and your old man's are raising up in a fight and you're saying, don't do it. Don't tell them about Jesus. You remember who's with you that day. It says in Revelations chapter 1, and it says, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. There's a voice behind you, backing you. Oh, you got God's word in your hand. You know it's his will that none perish. No, not one. You're in his will. Oh, it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned I saw, this is who's with you. This is who's with you. Amen. You're a citizen of heaven. Oh, blood-bought citizen of heaven. Oh, this is who is with you. This is why you can be bold. It says, I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Next time you get a track. Now, I'm with you. I'm with you. I have to talk myself into it too. Just like asking a girl out. But the difference is I know I'm in the will of God giving a tract. You say, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And then you go, hey, I'm flesh too. I get nervous. If the Lord wasn't with me right now, I couldn't do this. I'd just clam up and sit down, keep sweating. Next time, at verse 17, when I saw him, I felt his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, next time you go to witness. It may not even go that well. They might not get saved, but you're in God's will. Before you do it, remember this verse. When I saw him, I felt his feet as dead, and he had his right hand upon me. I guarantee you, if you're doing God's will, his hand's going to be on you. And if they could see what you knew he looked like, they'd fall as dead too. You would too. His flesh couldn't handle it. But next time, he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, next time you're getting ready to do it, say this, fear not, I'm the first and the last. He's a grand finale. I like Independence Day. I like grand finales. I like it when my God shows out. Next time you go to give a tract, say, fear not, I'm the first and the last. That one that's with you, he's there from the beginning, slain for the foundation of the world. And he'll be there at the end. King of kings. If you want to, you can get extra bold and say, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Hell and death ain't going to get a hold of you. He's got them. Oh, dear friend of mine, I'm getting close to closing. That was my last point. Dear friend of mine, I believe he's got, well, I ain't going to say that, but the Lord shows him things. He's sending me scriptures. I got a whole message off of it. He's sending me these verses out of Revelations. And I got to think about what God actually looks like. If people knew, yeah, you'd be bold as could be who you're walking with. It'd be like riding around with Wyatt Earp, except better. We know he's coming back as a Lone Ranger. But I'm serious. If you knew who was with you, that his gaze, it said his eyes are upon the righteous. We read that just a minute ago. His eyes are on you as living flames. And he's looking on you. And you're precious in his sight. You're his. He bought you with his blood. You're a joint heir in the kingdom of heaven. His eyes are on you. And his angels are about you. Ain't that good? And he's got the keys of hell and death. Ain't that good? A friend of mine said he used to want to go in the rapture. Another friend, he said, but then I heard an old lady say, I want to die. I want to die by myself. And he said, why? And she said, I want Jesus to come for me. One-on-one. I don't know about that, but the more I think of it, he's got the keys. Does that mean he has to open the door to death for everybody that dies? And if they die and they're lost, he's also got the key to hell. After he opens that door of death, does that mean he opens the door to hell and they're the last ones he sees before he's the last face they see before they fall in the pit? I know. They instantly go to the flames. You ever think about it? My friend told me, he mentioned that. He had that thought. I never thought of it like that. He's got the keys, he personally. Boy, that's sobering. Carpe diem, Christian, seize the day. Somebody might be in the, you might get a bad phone call and you meant to witness to them. I know it's somber. I'm sorry. But the word sometimes is somber. It's serious business. It ain't a game. Oh. But there's something else special. We won't end on that note. Preacher, I think about you. Your message is always top notch. They told me it's top notch this morning. The Lord bless you, honor you, give you good messages. You've helped me time and time again. But I know you get up and you said, I want to preach everyone like it's my last. So I got a hold of that early. There's been times I caught my pride and said, don't preach that in the nursing home. In my head, in my pride, I said, that's too good. Oh, God whip me over that. Them nursing homes is precious. They don't get to pick where they go to church. And that's yesterday's generation. That's the ones that we have this liberty. They serve. And they, oh, that's some of God's precious saints. How dare a man hold back? I never want to hold back. Oh, I don't want to hold back in prison. I don't want to hold back in a nursing home. I don't want to hold back when it's just me and the Lord in the woods. I never want to hold back. I want to give it all I got because He's worthy. Oh, Stephen got up, preached his one message. And pastor, you know, sometimes there are lost people in the midst, and you know it, you give it all you got, and you know God's on it, and then they go out the back door. It says there in Acts, back to Acts 7, it says, after he looked up and seen Jesus standing with him, it says, in verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Preacher, there might be a Saul in the midst. He might be down the road on Damascus Road. Will God come back to him? That's what we hope. When you preach your guts out, nobody budges. Nobody, a rededication is almost as sweet as a salvation. When a man gets back on fire for God, that means something to me. When you lay down sin, that means you can run. You can serve. If your hands is full, you can't serve. The only difference is, the only thing more satisfying is when somebody gets saved is they're in the kingdom of heaven and they're already there if it's a rededication. The rededications are important too. If a man has a sin weight, lay it down. Oh, we know he is full of the Holy Ghost. The very last thing, preacher, you give me this thought. And I found it scripturally. You told me about being in the woods and thinking about how you can't see the wind. This is John chapter 3. He's talking about how you can't see the wind, but if a little dust gets involved, you can see where it's going. And what is it doing? Well, in John chapter 3, it says, let's see here. It says in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell hence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit, capital S, Holy Ghost. Youngins, if there's a lost man in here, a woman tonight, a youngin', or old person, anybody, Holy Ghost come by. You don't know when He'll come by again. But I know He's in here. Because there are vessels of the Holy Ghost. I was in Alabama in the ghetto. We go to the ghetto before we go into prison. I walked up to this old boy, talking to him, and he said, no, not today. And we was getting ready to walk away. I'd done showed him Romans Road, and I showed him John 3 about being born again, explained it to him. He goes, not today. You hear that a lot. I heard it last week. Fella, I said, all you got to do, I asked him if he was a sinner last week, and he said, yeah. And I said, well, all that's left to ask him if you know where you stand. He goes, not today. And he pulled out and he left. Broke my heart. I'm praying for him. But I was in Montgomery, Alabama, in a similar situation, standing in the ghetto. The guy pulled in the driveway, and there I was to meet him. Me and the same dear brother that mentioned that about the keys of hell and death. And we were talking to him about the need to be saved. And he said he knew where he realized where he stood. And then finally, I just remembered, I read this. I said, you see this verse? The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell hence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I read that to that man. I said, I'm all the way from Churchill, Tennessee, East Tennessee Mountains. And God put me in your driveway today in Montgomery, Alabama. And I've got God in my heart. I said, you don't know when He'll come by again. And I started, we walked off. And he said, okay, let's do it. And he chased me down and he got saved. He cried and said, I feel better. That and there, last chance. There's a last chance to give the gospel, and there's a last chance to receive the gospel. You don't know when the Holy Ghost will come by again. If He's pricked your heart tonight, I'm not just talking about for salvation. If you want to lay down sin, He'll listen. I believe He'll do business. If there's something keeping you from serving, hindering, lay it down. He'll take it off of you. And you'll take His yoke, and His yoke is light. Can't even tell nothing's there. That's what's on my heart tonight. Last chance. You never know when your last chance will be. It'd be a shame to die in a car wreck and have a dashboard full of tracks that didn't get handed out. Here's the last chance to tell somebody about Jesus. You don't know. He might split the sky tomorrow. And we all know people that'll burn. Ask God to give you a chance to give them gospel and their heart be tender.